Does he score? Up the header. Rawls got pushed away. Feet pounced on that loose ball. Rawls.
Welcome to another episode of This is Silly with the Lilligans, brought to you by Euro Electric. This is Mitch, Brad.
Hello.
Bird.
Hi.
And we have two Chicago guys here. Do we have to?
We have special guests.
I mean, they're from Chicago.
Well, you know.
Alex, no, he's from Georgia.
There you go. So,
by way of Chicago.
Yes, we've got two special guests with us. We've got Patrick Duty, and we have Alec Kahn. Can, I just asked 5 seconds before I did, and I still blew it. Young players for St. Louis FC by way of Chicago Fire loan. Mitch is going to move a microphone so Alec can speak. But we're glad to have you here. And I don't know, what do you guys think of St. Louis so far?
I actually have a question for you, Patrick, and this maybe goes to both of you. But Patrick, you've been with the Fire all through your career. I mean, from being a kid. When you were told you were coming here, did it feel like you were being sent down at first?
I don't know if I would say sent down. I think, finally being with the first team after all those years, I definitely would have liked to stay as long as possible. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I knew St. Louis was always going to be an option, and really, ever since I've been here, it's been nothing but positive.
I was going to say, at which point do you realize that we're awesome?
I realized it pretty early.
For those that don't know, you're kind of making allusion to it. Patrick, you signed a homegrown contract with Chicago, so you were at their youth system. You played with the PDL team, too?
Yeah. I mean, when I was 15, I signed on with the academy, which is pretty much gives the Fire the opportunity to sign me at any point in time till I'm done with college. From then on, it was academy, and then when I left to college during the summers, it was PDL, and then finished up senior year at Indiana, and they were ready to take me. So
awesome.
Yeah.
You're 1 year older, Alec, or 2 years older?
Two.
I was trying to figure out, looking at the timelines, because
pretty old for my grade.
Well, but you've had a couple years where you've actually played in the USL.
That's right. Yeah, my rookie year, I was in Charleston playing for the Charleston Battery. And then from then on, I signed with the Fire, and I was on loan last year in Charlotte. So I have some experience in the league and know the way of the land. It's changed a lot in 4 years, though, as you know.
Yeah, the league's definitely made an improvement.
Absolutely.
So I guess my big question is, both of you are on loan from the Fire. You're still technically contracted with the Chicago Fire. Do you consider yourselves Fire players? Do you consider yourselves St. Louis players? Or are you kind of on a bubble, like... Because, I mean, I know, Alec, you've been called back up since you've been down. So, I mean, are you both kind of, well, the phone could ring at any minute and I have to go up, or?
That's pretty much how my experience has been so far, is that I'm kind of just waiting day to day.
Yeah.
Now I have a little bit of security knowing that I'll be here for a little bit.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, we're professionals. We know that wherever we're at, we're going to give our best and train hard every day and perform when we need to.
Yeah.
Same with you?
No, yeah, I absolutely agree. But in terms of what you originally asked, at least for me, I definitely feel a part of this team. I feel like I'm a member of the team.
Yeah, and you've kind of entrenched yourself a little bit. You've got a starting role. I mean, games may differ here and there, but Alec, we need to talk about the goalkeeper situation. I mean, it's a unique situation, kind of. I mean, the great thing is we have two great goalkeepers, both you and Mark. Both playing really well. Is it hard not knowing, or does coach give you plenty of time? Like, you're going this week, you're going that week. I just lost everything. Okay. Is it hard for you to kind of get into a rhythm, or is it just this is what it is and you're dealing with it?
Ideally, you're playing every game,
yeah.
But situations change. I mean, the coaches are great. They've been upfront with us from day one. And, I mean, it's been good so far. This team is... It's been really easy to get integrated with the team. The guys are awesome. Lots of young players, lots of hungry guys that really want to make a name for themselves. So it's been awesome so far.
And as a defender...
Well, I was about to say, Brad,
yeah.
It's the same situation for Patrick, because originally I thought it was going to be Oscar, Musa, Bibbs, Dixon as a back four. You know, and then Patrick came in and you're like, oh, well, you know, you didn't play against Oklahoma City, right? Was that rotation or were you injured?
I was out with injury.
Okay, okay. You know, that was going to be my, my question.
Well, and I was going to say also in regards to goalkeeper, we know it's very important for you guys to know exactly what's going on behind you. You know, different goalkeepers handle things, manage things differently. Does it throw you for a loop when you're like, oh, no, I thought that was Alec back there, but now it's Mark?
Or... No, I mean, obviously, Alec's a lefty, Mark's a righty.
Right.
So you pay attention to that. But, I mean, they're both so good in net that it's really we're lucky.
Yeah.
It's back four, back five with either one of them.
Yeah, we don't miss a beat. I mean,
no.
You know, the first time when they said you start, we're like, oh, you know, okay, we'll see what's going on. It's like, I think you won our Luligan man of the match that day. It's like, okay, we're set. You know, it's like, yeah. So now you look at the score sheet. Oh, well, doesn't matter. You know, both of our guys are quality, and they'll stop whatever comes at them.
Yeah.
So.
Patrick, the first game against Louisville didn't go so hot. The second game at Tulsa, we won, but I still felt that they could have got back into the game. Mm-hmm. I still felt a little jitters whenever they were pressing. The game against Oklahoma and the game against Wilmington, we look a lot more solid. We look a lot more settled, stable. It seems to really have been coming on.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, we got the win in Tulsa was big just to get points,
mm-hmm.
to get the season kind of rolling. You know, and then the Rochester game now, 3 games ago, obviously Rochester's off to an incredible start.
Yeah,
but we still felt really, it was kind of a flat first half for us, but we still felt like, you know, we could have won that game. But when we went over tape and recapped everything, we kind of made it a mission in Oklahoma City that, you know, we had to get the job done in a lot of different ways. So I think the last 2 games we've kind of proven that. I don't know if.
Is some of it just gelling together? I know each other a little better. You know where your men are going to be, or
I personally think so. I mean, with the way our attack works, it's not we're going to be kicking it up because if you're just kicking it up the field to anybody, then anybody can be part of the system.
Right.
With us, you know, we got the diamond. We try to keep the ball on the ground as much as possible. So that takes time. I mean, at least, and for me, I wasn't there for. I came in at the very end of preseason. Alec, obviously. Came in right after me, so there's still a lot of Brandon came in towards the end. So those are 3 guys that are, as of now, making an impact on the team that weren't even there for the first month of the season.
I think a lot of it, too, is that Dale's been on us a lot about putting in 90-minute performances. In Tulsa, we were there for 70 minutes. We played great soccer. Rochester, we had a couple mental lapses, and that's the reason we lost the game. And then Oklahoma City, we started out pretty poorly, but we turned it around. And then I think we put in a 90-minute performance against Wilmington, and we're pretty solid the whole game.
And I mean, Matt, you made mention of it, but every game you guys have looked good. Like, even the first game against Louisville, we saw what was there, a couple of flukes happened here or there. And, I mean, credit to them. They beat us. But it's not like you guys have been clueless out there. Like, we're watching it. We're seeing it. We're like, oh, if we can just string this together –
Yeah.
Well, no, no,
it's
but,
not. Even
hey,
though,
we've all watched a lot of soccer games with that sucked, where it's like those guys don't know what they're doing.
No, yeah. But even
I never had that.
Even the Rochester game, right? As Patrick said, they're a great team. They mm-hmm. really are. Rochester, they didn't wipe the floor with us either. I mean,
no, we held them for a long time, and
they actually scored during our best part of the game. I felt, to be honest, I mean, we did weather the storm
in
the first
half.
Really
deflating for us.
Well, yeah,
yeah.
But, yeah, all along, we've seen the talent there. We've seen the quality, and, you know, we're just waiting for it to happen. And now it's like, oh, I think we're having it. You know, and it's like 2 games in a row, and I'm sure that's the kind of thing that inspires confidence with you guys. I mean, it sort of builds on itself. I mean, just the way a couple of losses can send you into a slump.
Yeah.
A couple of wins can cure, well, Matt says it, wins kill it, cure everything.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But, how can all right? Next question to you guys. You see these guys train day in day out. What can we do better? Do you think? Would you? You know, we've got Toronto on Thursday. Do you prefer the games coming thick and fast, or you know, did you feel that you got more out of the bye week and having a full solid 2 weeks to train?
You can take it.
I think personally, it was a good time to have a bye week.
Mm-hmm.
Coming off the win, had we lost in Oklahoma City, I would have said,
"Oh yeah, it's better to come off a win and take." Yeah,
but we were, you know, we were at the time that was our fourth or fifth game of the year. It was nice to get a weekend off, but I think as often as possible, if we can get in another game within at least seven days, I think it's for the better.
Especially with this homestand, I mean, we can just keep this momentum rolling for. I think it's four games.
Yeah, it is nice to have four in a row. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and kind of following on that, Malia also asked on Facebook, you know, the Open Cup's coming up. I don't want to overlook Toronto because they're coming up. But the Open Cup, a little different because it's not teams in our league. It's not teams that we've got a big book on. I mean, I'm sure we've got scouts looking at, you know, I guess the game's Wednesday. We'll find out if we're playing Des Moines or
Madison.
How do you prepare for the Open Cup? Is that different, or is Coach just going to say, we're going to do what we do and, you know, take them on?
We haven't talked too much about it yet, but, I mean, based on what I've seen, like, you got to treat every team like they're in your league or they're from a league higher. You got to treat them all with respect, and otherwise you're going to get
– Yeah, Des Moines had a good club in PDL for a long time.
Plus, you two played PDL, right? I mean –
Yeah. I've played in the Open Cup the last 4 years, so not at this level, but right. You know, those are huge games, especially at home. Anytime we're going to be playing at home this year, it's going to be a huge incentive.
I hope people that are listening appreciate how big this game is. I mean, Open Cup is something special, and I
Absolutely,
hope people
yeah.
come out and really just enjoy it all, because obviously we're going to win the first one, right, guys?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we go on to play bigger and better teams.
Yeah.
Petrillo wanted to know... This is an off the field question. You've been in St. Louis for a while now. Are you enjoying the city? You know, what's something you've done that's been, you know, memorable, or what are you looking forward to trying in St. Louis that you haven't had yet?
I'll go first on this one too. I went to Forest Park the other day. Went to the zoo and the Science Center and some of those. I mean, that park's incredible
yeah.
and stuff there. So. That was a lot of fun.
Okay, Alec.
We're close to Clayton, and okay. that area is cool. Lots of cool bars and restaurants. It seems like a good time over there. I haven't had too much time to really branch out, but we've been playing a lot of golf. There's not a lot of nice public courses around here.
And we were supposed to ask. You gave up your bowling night for us tonight. Is that true, Patrick?
I did. I have some upset teammates.
Took a little heat for that.
Well,
to avoid them.
I hope they'll understand. The life of a professional athlete is glamorous.
And
you have to do these things.
You make it big, you can end up in Mitch's basement.
Dave Corbett wanted to know, do you guys hate Louisville as much as we do? I mean, I know the first game was weird because it's the first game. Everybody's just nervous, you know, getting out there, but... You really need to know how important this Louisville rivalry is. We need to beat them.
Yeah, we've been. I think we could use maybe a little bit more of a history lesson.
There's no history.
No,
it's just that they're the closest team to us, so
okay.
we can easily make that road trip. And we're both new franchises this year, and they talk a lot of trash. You know,
is that right?
Because I mean, obviously, we do everything off the field better than them. Then they win the first game, so they can point to the scoreboard. So we need you guys to fix that part of it.
I've got a couple ex-teammates on Louisville that I would like to...
All right, there we go.
Matt Fondy was a Chicago guy, right?
Yeah, he was. Played with him last year.
Yeah, Sam Fink scored as many goals as him. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah,
I'm just saying.
You're just quoting stats, right?
It's a fact.
He's a great guy, by the way.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've tweeted with him once or twice, and he does seem like a great guy. And, I mean, I do wish him well. I wish the Louisville team well right up below us. You know, if they could come in second, that'd be awesome. GNR42 on Twitter. See, I don't know. This could be my best friend, but I don't know the handle GNR42. Yes, I guess so. Do you have a favorite chant? I mean, do you guys, I mean, obviously you can hear us when you're on the field, but do you hear specifics or do you just hear noise in the corner?
I try not to get too distracted with the chance. Otherwise, bad things can happen.
Right. But, good answer.
Yeah.
I being on the outside, you're kind of moments of the game you can not escape, but with throw-ins and subs and you're just hanging out, I can hear them. I don't know any specific chants, but I certainly like the beat to some of them.
Yeah. We got good drummers.
Yeah.
But, I mean, do you guys appreciate that, you know, the noise coming from the corner, the nonstop? Or every once in a while you guys like, no, seriously, guys, if you could calm down, be quiet just for a little bit, we're thinking here.
I mean, for me, it's just like it builds momentum. Yeah. You can feel it coming. Like when we scored that goal, you could feel that coming. And then for the rest of the game, we just rode that wave all the way through the end of the game.
Love the smoke, too, after the celebration.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, gave us permission for the smoke. They just haven't told us to
stop. Jeremy just kept saying, I'll get back to you, I'll get back to you. And then, like, we lit it the first time. It was like, well, you didn't say no. so far, so good. Jeff Adams wanted to know. Oh, nope. Sorry, I already asked that one. Injury update, St. Louis FC Fan TV, which is not related to the team at all. I mean, I don't want you guys to put anybody's business out there, but we know Barklage is suffering a little bit and Hardware was stayed out of the game. Are they training at all or are they just, you know, maintaining, trying to get back to fitness on their own? What's going on?
They're doing everything they can with our training staff to get back as soon as possible.
I mean, it's not fair to ask you guys about somebody else's injury, but that was the question we got. And then the last one from Pat Ryan wanted to know, is there anything else that you would want us to do? I mean, you said you like the smoke. Is there all the places you guys have played? I mean, college, PDL. Is there something a supporters group did that we're not doing?
I'm trying to think. I mean, I think going like being with the fans after the game is really cool and really special, and I'd like to continue doing that. But, I mean, besides that, I can't really think of anything.
Yeah, I really have nothing even to compare it to, but as far as I can tell, this is the best fan section in the country.
Well, now, wait a minute, because we do have a question. You have your own fan section. You have the duty crew, which, I mean, we're friendly with the duty crew. It's not like we have a blood Crips kind of relationship with the duty crew.
I hope not.
But what's up with the duty crew? Are they friends from home or are they?
I am still yet to meet the owner of the start of the duty crew.
Okay.
It's strictly been a social media relationship.
Okay.
But as far as I'm concerned, they're
still just stalkers. No, I'm kidding. No, they seem like good people that for some reason have taken a shine to you.
I guess so. They sit in section 2. Okay. So my number is 22, so maybe there's obviously the connection there. But they're pretty funny. If you want to give them a follow, they tweet some good stuff.
Yeah, it's I think it's just Duty Crew or
Duty
is it
Crew
22. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, follow them on Facebook.
Yeah.
Or Twitter, sorry. And the final question we have is Derek Gottman wanted to know, as far as game prep goes, how involved is it? Do you get video breakdowns of the team you're playing last week's game, things like that?
Yeah, it's pretty extensive here. We have a routine like 2 days before the game, we'll watch our film from the previous game, and then the next day we'll do a scout on the team we're playing the next day, and then we'll go through specific things that this team does during training that week. So, I mean, feel pretty prepared for whoever we're going to play. And
so you
then
have a pretty
personally,
good idea,
like,
yeah.
I'll get a look at their set pieces and their attacking tendencies just so that I know that stuff in goal.
That's good.
Yeah, the staff does a really good job at preparing us for each match.
I guess I'll follow up with, I mean, especially Alec, because you've been in USL Pro, mm-hmm. what used to be USL Pro, now it's just USL. I mean, as far as, you know, the way the organization is run, I mean, obviously Charlotte, is that where you started, Charlotte first?
Charleston. Rookie year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a quality team. You know, they've been around forever.
Right.
And then the Eagles was a little different situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, how does St. Louis stack up as far as the off the field, getting you guys ready, things like that?
The facilities here are better than anything I've seen in the USL. I mean, and then the support is, I mean, I've never played anywhere like this. As far as the support from the fans and the supporters group and interacting with the fans off the field, I can't really compare it to any of the other places I've been.
Yeah, we're pretty good. No, I'm
not
just
to
kidding.
Toot your horns too much, but
No, I've been impressed with, I mean, not us, but with the front office, how they handle things and how they, you know, just the attention to detail that they have seems to be pretty good. But, again, I don't have anything to compare it to, so.
I have a question. About 5:30 on a home game, you walk past us going into that building. What's in there?
that's the training area, right? No.
Yeah. Thunderdome. No, it's not anything too special. It's just that's exactly what it is. It's a little training center.
Are you doing yoga or Pilates or something? Stretching.
They're sacrificing chickens, duh.
Well, it worked this week.
Yeah.
Door.
Well, that's where we got the meat for the tailgate. As soon as they leave, we go take the carcasses and. But I mean, when you guys do walk by us, I mean, you walk down and there's usually a few of us there when you're walking over. And then when you leave, the tailgate's starting to fill up. I mean, does that kind of get you going? Like seeing, oh, you know, there's already a good group of people here. I mean,
yeah, you can kind of see the process, like as it goes from like we get there, there's no one there really. Like our jerseys are just getting put out to where we go to the PTC is what we call it.
Yeah.
And there's a couple fans in the parking lot. And then we leave, it's pretty much packed. So, I mean, you're kind of like riding that wave all the way.
When you guys are walking over, I'm always like, you know, some of the guys are like, hey, how you doing? Give them fives. And some guys are like in game mode, you know, like got their headphones on. They're trying not to look. And it's like, man, he just gave me the hi-hat. It's like, he's a professional. He's getting into his, you know, he doesn't have time to stop and shake everybody's hand.
Wouldn't take it too personally.
Yeah. So, I mean,
of course. Definitely.
But I mean, that's kind of the beauty of it. I mean, you guys, all of you are different. You know, we've had a few of you on the podcast now. And, how's that going off the field? I mean, are you guys finding, you know, guys to make fun of, guys to pick on, you know? Everybody says Moose is the biggest pain in the ass to deal with.
Absolutely.
Off the field. So there you go.
There's no debate there.
How much grief do you give Jack Mathis and that man bun he's wearing? Please tell me you just slaughter him day in, day out for that.
He takes some heat for it.
He does take some heat.
I'm glad to hear that.
He takes some heat for it.
But you guys, I assume, you know, on an off day, you guys go see a movie together or go do whatever. I mean,
we get together pretty much like every night to do something because we got probably like, how many guys? 12 guys in the
apartments,
and we're all pretty close. All hang out together, go to dinner.
So the old men like Ambersley and Barklage, they're doing their own family
their
thing,
family
right?
Stuff.
You guys
see
go have fun
once in a blue moon.
Yeah. But no, other than that, the team's really, really close group.
Good, good.
Yeah.
What team do you support?
The Chicago
Fire.
Yeah, do you guys watch, you know, Premier League or any other leagues? Do you have a favorite team? People always
do. You set an alarm for 5 o'clock on a Saturday morning, like normal people do. Watch this game.
I watch a good bit of Premier League. I've been a Man United fan my whole life, and I know.
No, Matt, that's making Matt happy. Yeah.
And then I watch a lot of Champions League.
Not this year, you didn't.
That's true.
Patrick, you have any teams you watch? Or
you had no one specifically. Living, though, with Alec, is we got the tube on a lot of EPL, so it's been fun.
Well, I mean, I find with the players we interview, there's one or two things. You either get a guy who, die hard since I was 11, I've followed this team, or you get guys that be like, no, but I just watch, you know, a left back, or I watch the defensive mid the whole time, whoever's on, you know, just to get what I can get for my own game. So, which to me is like, oh, he can't turn it off, you know. You need to just enjoy a game as a fan once in a while, but I'm sure you're always looking at, you know, whatever you see, oh, maybe I could incorporate that into my game, or, you know, that's how I would have done it, or, you know, I would have gone the other way on the penalty and I would have stopped it. But
growing up, who was the players that you used to really idolize, you know, growing up and go, I want to be like him? Like, for me, I like it was Brian Robson. I always wanted to be United's number 7, Brian Robson, so.
I'm a big Schmeichel fan. I've been a fan of him. And then my namesake, Oliver Kahn.
There you go.
I liked watching him. But I was a field player growing up, so I liked a lot of those guys playing on the field. Giggs, Scholes, Roy Keane, all legends.
You're my favorite player now.
He says that to everybody. It's okay.
I played left mid until halfway through college. And my coach growing up was from England. So ever since I was little, I always was a fan of Michael Owen way back in the day. But as of late, like you were just noting too, I do catch myself looking at the left back from either team, especially even on just MLS Sundays, just whatever game's on, just kind of trying to you kind of do it without even thinking about it.
Yeah.
Just picking up on, you know, what they were thinking in certain plays.
It's also a good measuring stick of, like, evaluating yourself against
someone
who's playing at a higher level.
Yeah. Well, and that's the great thing about you guys. I mean, you know, we've had other players on who are a little older in their career. I mean, you guys are really on the way up. I mean, the goal isn't, you know, to retire in USL. Your goal is going up. I mean, you're both already signed by an MLS club, but that's the future for both of you. I mean, if you keep up what you're doing, you're both playing great.
Thanks.
But how much interaction do you have with the Fire? I mean, do they send player or coaches down to watch the games, or are they scouting? Or are they, you know, or do you get a call from, you know, the coaches saying, hey, I saw your game last week. You did really good.
I spoke to my positional coach today. I talked to him a couple times a week.
Okay.
I mean, they get clips from St. Louis FC. They evaluate it. They call us, tell us what they think. I think our technical director has been here a couple times to watch games. So I think the relationship is pretty tight. And
good.
That's good for us. I mean, as long as we're playing well, it's good good promotion for us.
Yeah.
And when you go back up to Chicago, when you get called back, just tell everyone there how awesome it is down here. Say, you know what? You need some minutes. Get down 55 because you'll have a blast.
Well, and I think, I mean, that is why you're here, to get minutes, to get time that you might not get, you know, because we've talked about it before. You don't learn a whole lot sitting on the bench. So guaranteed time is better than, well, not guaranteed. I mean, nothing's guaranteed. But so, I, you know, use the time well, and I think we'll all look forward to seeing you guys playing for the Fire in the future, you know?
I think it's worked out well because, you know, the better we do here, one, we're helping this team, and two, we're helping our chances at, like you said, trying to get to our next goal.
Yeah.
So it just goes hand in hand.
And that's what Dale said when we had Dale on the podcast. We asked Dale, you know, does it worry him that he'll nurture these young lads and they'll leave him and go off to better things? And he said, you know, if that's what we do, we'll never have a shortage of talented young kids coming through the system.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, if people watch you guys flourish here and then go off to better things, you know, that there'll be other kids watching you going,
yeah,
that's the way. That's
well, and the Dom Dwyer, you know, a couple of years ago, that was the perfect example of, he wasn't happy. You know, everybody said he was miserable when he got quote unquote sent down, but he made the most of it. And now look at him. I mean, he's flourishing. So I think that's a good example for people to look at. And just going back 5 years ago with AC St. Louis, we had Luis Gil here on loan at the time, who was a 16-year-old kid who had a lot of hype but wasn't getting playing time at RSL. And now when we see those games, we're like, that's our boy, you know. So, like, 5 years from now, I want to be watching, you know, MLS Cup and saying, those two guys, sat on a couch with them, you know. I mean, you want to cheer for your guys, and, you know, we want you guys to do well. And we're really happy that you're doing well with us so far.
Thank you.
Thanks.
This team's no joke. You know, I mean, we're really, really emotionally invested in this team. We can't say that enough. And, you know, the fact that it's going so well, I think if someone had said to us as fans, after six games, you'll be the highest expansion team in the Eastern Conference, I think we'd have snapped your hand off, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, we hoped, but, you know, now it's real.
Well, and that's the biggest thing for us. We want to play in games that matter.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not playing for Chicago, we're here, and we know that these games mean something every time we go out there. So,
great.
It's been great.
Do you have anything else, Matt?
No, just keep on keeping on. We're behind you all the way.
Yep, and come to the corner, and you'll always get a high five.
Great. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Well, let's take a break. The guys have busy lives to lead. Maybe Patrick can get in a last frame of bowling for his team. I don't know. But thanks for coming on, guys, and we'll have you on again in the future.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
This is Taka of St. Louis FC, and you're listening to This Is City with the St. Louis Louligans.
Mitch is back.
Back again.
That was nice to have the players on.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, they get it. They see what's going on. They appreciate it, and those are two damn talented guys, so we know we're gonna see them in the future.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that those guys, I mean, aside from the fact that they're already on contract with Chicago Fire, we've seen enough quality, enough talent from those guys that we'll be seeing them in the future.
And how great is it, too, that we're in a situation similar to the Blues with a 1A, 1B goalies? I mean, we have two top-level goalies where some teams don't even have a number one.
It's a nice problem for them to have.
I didn't press the issue with Alec, and, you know, and he said, ideally, you're starting every game. I mean, the competitor in him has to be wanting every start.
If you're playing at this level, you want to play every day.
Right, and the same with Pace. I mean, Pace is also a great goalkeeper. I'm sure they both want to start every game, but Dale does have that luxury of, especially now when we're talking about a four-day turnaround, and then playing U.S. Open Cup, and then turning around and playing Louisville. I mean, it's got to be nice for Dale to have options there to let a guy rest or to, you know.
I think, especially in the Open Cup, I think with him having tired legs, he's going to bring in new guys and rotate through the Open Cup anyways. Especially at this game. I mean, if we get drawn away at Indy in the next game, if we get that far, you know, I think he'll play his strongest side. But yeah. I think there's a little bit of leeway playing against Des Moines or Madison.
Well, and you also saw this weekend, we saw some of the guys that haven't been getting into games as frequently get some time, you know, Roach.
Had a couple of injuries, had Lynch out on suspension, so people got in there.
And again, I still don't blame them for what happened. Guy shoves you, you shove him back.
No, I tried to kick him in the nuts.
Yeah, I mean.
Proper kicked out at him.
That's going to happen. I mean, it wasn't like he lost. I mean, yeah, technically he lost his head, but it wasn't like some insane thing that made no sense. It
wasn't like he jump kicked some guy in the stands at Crystal Palace.
Right, exactly.
That was the best thing he ever did.
You're goddamn right.
But, I mean, I was telling Alec the truth, though. Since that first game when his name was in the lineup, we all kind of raised an eyebrow, you know, why isn't Pace playing? Yep. Now it's not a concern. I don't care whose name I see on that sheet. I have 100% confidence in either goalkeeper. Now, I mean, I'm sure those guys want to be the man, and they're probably makes them better. Probably fighting it even harder in practice to show they get the start, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, competition's always a good thing, and we're lucky to have two number one goalkeepers.
I think overall, the last two or three games, you've got to be happy at how our defense has settled down. You know, even in the last 180 minutes, we've only conceded one goal.
And I really do believe some of it is getting to know each
chemistry.
Other.
Just chemistry.
Yeah.
Because knowing where the guy's going to be, you know, or what run he's going to make, you know, the more time you play with the guy, the more time you know. You know, if I move into this position, I'm confident that, you know, duty's going to swing behind and back me up, or, you know what I mean, knowing when to go, when to stay.
Well, it's things like that. What Patrick said there was that he knew that Patrick was a righty, Alec was a righty, and
right.
Matt was a lefty. I was like,
I had never even caught it.
As a fan, that I totally overlooked.
Right.
That, you know, and that's the difference between a soccer guy and a soccer
supporter.
But it's
huge to him,
yeah.
You know, on how he's going to cover a play or circle around.
Right. So, no, both of those guys were great. And let's go ahead and talk. Matt, you had the joy.
It was fantastic. All right, I'll start from the beginning. Me and Landon and Malia went down to Oklahoma. We kind of didn't know what to expect. We'd not had a good time with the with their supporters group. It's a little apprehensive as what I was going to receive down there. A couple of people...
Yeah, just for people that don't know, online, the grid are a little touchy mm-hmm. about things, and, you know...
We're not on the same wavelength.
Sometimes we'd make a joke, and they'd take it seriously, or, you know, so...
I was kind of apprehensive. A couple of them had reached out to me and said, don't worry about it, come on, you'll be fine. You know, so, but you don't know what to expect. So we get there, we park up, and we go sit off by the side with our little cooler. And immediately, within 30 seconds, a couple of people walked over and said, come on, come join us. Come on, come on. You know, and then you start sharing.
Then he woke up in a dumpster.
They roofied him.
Then you start sharing the fireball, and all your fears and apprehension go away. And you're like, this is going to be fine.
Yeah.
So... You know, we go in, and we've got tickets to a certain section, and everyone was, and the Oklahoma people were like, no, you'll sit with us, it's fine, don't worry about it. So, we get in there, and I think they thought they were going to win.
Yeah.
They wanted to sit by. They were pretty cocky. They were pretty pretty complacent.
Yeah.
And I knew they were unbeaten, but then I looked at the games they played. Like, they beat Colorado, but Colorado had a player sent off. They beat... They only drew with Tulsa, and, you know, they hadn't really pulled up any trees.
They did beat S2. That was
the other one.
That was the good one, I mean.
But S2 had also lost to Tulsa.
Right.
So, I mean...
You weren't seeing a history of positive action.
So I went down there with hopes, like, we could do this. I was worried at first, and I saw who they'd beat, and I was like, oh, we could do this. I had a really good vibe going down there. And then we go down early again, and you're like, ah, damn it. And everyone's cheering around you, and you kind of sat there, and you're like, oh. And my goodness, what a change in fortunes. The goal by Hardware was right in front of me, and he just danced his way through and scored.
That kid, I mean, the more I see of him, the more I like him. And I was really upset that he pulled up a little lame, because I wanted to see him again at home.
The funniest thing about that goal was that Landon Zirkelback was in the queue for beer. So he drove 8 hours.
And missed it.
And missed the goal.
Nice.
But so we're level, and it's fantastic, and I'm jumping around. And then Oscar gets the ball halfway between this center line and the 18-yard box. He deeks to his right. He touches it up in front of him, and he's about 5 yards outside the 18-yard box, and he lets rip on this shot. And I thought it was going in, and it smacks against the post, and it comes out to Ambersley, and Ambersley's in the 18-yard box. There's no one around him. I mean, he could have made a cup of tea. He had so much. It was probably one of those chances where if he'd have had much more time, he'd have overthought it.
Right, right.
But he stuck it away.
Just reacted and put it in.
And I went absolutely berserk. I mean, I went nuts. And
I imagine your surroundings were rather quiet.
They were getting, as I say,
at that point, you might have been killed.
I was giving them the shh, you know? But I mean, Malia and Landon, they're just as crazy as I am. They're jumping about. I mean, there's nothing better than going to someone else's territory and getting the win. The second half, we moved over to as far as we could get to where we were attacking. Drinking, having fun with the their fans. And I never felt during the second half we were in any danger of losing the game. They really never had any sustained pressure. We were keeping them to shots outside the box. The game kind of petered out. They were all excited for about 30 seconds when Jeremy was sent off. And then their guy was sent off after 30 seconds later, and they thought that was the worst thing in the world. But they, credit to Dale and his team, they really closed out the game well. And credit to the Oklahoma City fans, because they invited us out to go drinking with them. We went to Skinny Slim's, their soccer bar, after the game. There was did a lot of talking to a guy called Tyler and that Clay Harstead, an English guy called Alex, a girl called Rayleigh and Jessica. They were really good people, and I wholeheartedly invited them to come to the return game up here, because it was really good. It was a really good time.
And that's what you want to hear. I mean,
yeah, I was glad to hear that.
It's all fun and games on Twitter when we're getting snarky, but some people can take it the wrong way and over-escalate things. So you want to hear a good experience.
But I would have no issue or problem with going back to Oklahoma. And I was talking to Tyler about the podcast, you know, because he wanted to start a podcast. And you know, he even said, even Tulsa have got a podcast, you know. You know, so they've started one, and
yeah,
I hope that goes
Jimmy
well.
Jimmy's
Big Army or something.
Yeah. It's on iTunes. You can find it.
It's on that.
Oh, no, it's not on iTunes. It's on,
but you can find it through that USL Facebook group.
Right,
if you're on there,
right.
You'll find it.
I listened to it. It was a good first podcast.
For a first podcast, it's all right.
Yep.
So driving home, I was very worse for wear. So thanks to Malia for driving through Oklahoma, and I took over when I felt better. But
I'm which glad, was Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm really glad I went. I'm really glad we went. And credit to Nick Bibbs as well, because as soon as the final whistle went, instead of going and being with his players, he came over to us and shook our hands.
Yeah.
Ralph Richards, the assistant coach, gave Malia a massive hug. I mean, again, they really do appreciate that
yeah.
people made an effort.
So. Well, that's, I mean, Alec and Patrick both said that, you know, that's one of their favorite things is after the game coming over and, you know, just spending mm-hmm. a few minutes with, I mean, they got things to do and they want to go take a shower and stuff, but, you know, just a few minutes with the fans, that's great.
But at the end of the day, also they're soccer fans too. They, oh, yeah. they know how it is. So, but.
And if anybody's listening who doesn't sit in the corner with us, run down to the corner after the game, you know, shake hands with the players, you know, they're all there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the players are also good. They do go up to the beer garden area after the game and they sign autographs and all that good stuff too. So,
but
then we had the terrible bye week, which yeah. seemed like
an
month
eternity.
And a half. Yeah.
It, as I say, I made the point that you don't have the game for 5 years and then you deal with it the best you can. And then you don't have soccer for 2 weeks and you know, the world's coming to an end.
Yeah.
I mean, I think.
And I watched a couple other USL games uh-huh. on the feed, which is nice. I mean, you know, I could see who we were playing next and, you know, checked in on, you know, Louisville's game and all that.
Which game was that? The game against Charlotte?
Yeah.
They lost that one, didn't they?
I believe they did, yes.
I heard,
yes.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. The goalie was from St. Louis for them. He shut them out.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm. Nice. That's
but,
a good thing.
But that is a great thing about the league. You were saying, you yeah. know, I could. I mean, I still had my soccer, but it wasn't my team.
I understand.
So. You know, I'm watching a movie and I'm looking at my iPad and I'm, you know, yeah.
I'm a lot more vested. I'll watch more of the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
That if I could do without watching OC Blues against Portland too.
Yeah. You know, even if it's going to be a good game, I know I'm not going to play either of those teams. So. Yeah,
so I'm not as vested in them.
Right.
But really watched as many games as I could this weekend. I watched Austin versus Oklahoma City Energy. That was a good game. It's 2-2. But again, it's not. It's just filling the void.
Yeah. See, I went to Kansas City on Sunday.
Yes, you did.
And watched our Chicago Fire play Kansas City, and this was my first trip to Sporting, and that is an amazingly cool stadium. That being said, it just didn't feel right, mm-hmm. and I keep trying to come up with the word of, you know, it felt plastic. It felt, you know,
I would use
inauthentic,
the word generic.
See. And that's the thing, is that now it's generic. At the time, it wasn't generic.
That's true. That's true. I'll
you know, back
it.
In the day, when or back in the day, all two
See,
years ago.
I think
ago.
Of generic stadium, and I think of Frisco Park and the Colorado or the Chicago Field.
Pizza Hut Park.
Pizza Hut Park. They're cookie cutters, you know, of the same thing. So, yes. like, Kansas City went out, and they wanted to make the best. They took the best ideas that everybody had and kind of threw them together.
That's exactly the
Which
way
is
I
great.
Described it.
Which is
it
great.
It felt like they yeah. had a whole bunch of consultants get together, pull 100 soccer fans, what do you like best about your stadium, and they put it all in one place. Yeah. And again, very cool. The Cauldron were amazing. Their TIFO, where they had flames that were blue to mock the fire. Very cool, but it just didn't feel like home.
It's and, not, because we have a home now.
And that was the thing. I spent a lot of time walking around the stadium.
It's not like Soccer Park is, like, the latest and greatest. It was built in the early 80s, and you yeah. know, and it shows. Yeah. I mean, they've done improvements. But
the thing is that it's like, you know, 2 years ago, this would have been a great trip. Mm. And, you know, I did a lot of walking around, figuring out how they do things, seeing what their capos did and how they're... And it was like, you know what? I like our drummers better.
Yeah.
You know, it just kind of, it was like, and I know it's a size thing, but our drummers keep a badass beat going the whole time, as was shown this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, you posted that little video, like, it was just, before the game even started, they were just playing like, you
know. Just had like a jam beat
Funky
going.
Drummer going, yeah. and I mean, everybody was just kind of grooving a little bit, and
hollering, you know, and
cowbells going with the drums, ding, 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 and I mean. Everybody's just kind of dancing, like, let's get this going. Let's, you know, getting ready for it. So.
And that's when I realized it's organic.
Yeah.
It just happens.
Yeah, that's they didn't practice that. They don't,
yeah.
you know, Dave and Ryan and Zach just said, you know, let's groove a little bit. And, yeah. So they started.
And that's the thing. It's like, you know, you go to this MLS stadium where they have rules and regulations and they're told how to behave and how to do.
New York City hires a professional drum line.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, no, you know what? We do that shit on our own. We got this. So that was kind of neat coming back and just saying, hey, you know what? Let's keep doing what we're doing.
There's people in the city that want MLS more than anything else, and I don't envy the Cauldron. I don't envy them. There's nothing they do that we don't do. There's nothing they've got that we don't have.
Well, I mean, and
I just don't envy it.
I get it, and one day maybe we'll get there, but those people that are waiting for MLS are missing a great show now.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying the soccer isn't better at MLS. I'm not saying there aren't bigger matches or we wouldn't do bigger TIFOs or, you know what I mean? Like, there are, it's bigger, you know, but that doesn't mean, I mean, they're missing out on a great time.
At the end of the day, though, it's still our 11 guys.
Right.
It's their 11 guys and the game last 90 minutes.
And this Saturday, I mean, when we had that win, first when we scored the goal, I mean, it was chaos and
jubilation.
I mean, smoke's going, people are screaming.
It was a lot of relief. Let's not kid ourselves.
Well, no, but
that too.
But I mean,
for 80 minutes, I was wondering what the heck I was going to say in that show for.
But that was part of it too. Is that it wasn't like that we didn't have the opportunities.
Right.
It's not like there wasn't something going on. Mm-hmm. But it just kept standing on the edge of the cliff.
But then after they scored, everybody was like pacing a little bit, like okay, close it out. And when that final whistle blew, I mean,
it was pandemonium.
You know, our section just went nuts. I mean, my kids were there. I brought my kids. I brought my wife. My kids all brought friends. Mm-hmm. I mean, my son literally does not care. When I'm watching soccer, you know, he leaves the room, and he was jumping up and down. You know what I mean? And I said after, you know, the next day, I was like, so did you have fun? Did your girlfriend have fun? Yeah. I was like, well, would you want to come back? Just, you know, me and you? Yeah. You know, I mean.
Because.
Is he old enough to be a sober driver?
Getting there.
Because it's still his city.
Well, yeah.
It's still,
and live is different than on TV.
I absolutely agree.
And same with hockey. I mean, baseball's the same either way. It's boring as fuck. But hockey.
In this city.
Yes. But hockey live is a totally different sport than it is on TV. Soccer's like that. You have to be there. You have to feel the crowd. You have to feel the, you know, like Alex said, you could tell it was building. The crowd was building as we led to that goal. And speaking of the goal, when you see it on the replay, I mean, Roach put that ball in perfectly.
It was a great corner,
and
wasn't it?
Perfect.
And Sam
connected up.
It.
I mean, yeah. That was.
Well, and Sam said, I didn't have to do anything. He put the ball right there. I just let it bounce off me into the goal.
He got up.
No, he got up.
That's the other thing.
He got to where he knew.
He made a well-timed jump.
He said that was the plan, to get it over the goalie at the near post, mm-hmm. and I would be at the far post, and it worked exactly like they drew it up. But, I mean, Roach put in a perfect ball.
Yeah, that was an amazing cross. I mean, I rewatched the highlight a couple times, and it was just. Now, mind you, I did also see the highlight of Jason McAdams doing his I Have a Chupacabra dance.
Yeah, and Jason was getting down there.
Yeah. But again, kudos to our feed. I really enjoy our feed. I think the graphics are appropriate.
It's a good feed. I mean,
we've watched other ones where, you know, you got to move your car from Walgreens.
We've seen a variety of quality.
Why would you do that? Why?
Because nobody at the game is watching.
Exactly.
Yes, that's what we were all asking.
It's like
serious. Wait, why the hell are you doing this?
Yeah, it was a strange one, but nevertheless, I mean, the great thing though is, I mean, that game when it started out, I mean, we've been watching the weather all week.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, it's going to be a wet one, guys. It's going to be wet. And then I was like, you know, I bet attendance will be down. I bet people will stay away because it's wet. And it was. It was down about 1,000.
It was down 20%, yeah.
So we got there for the tailgate. And before we left Mitch's house, it was actually sunny. Mitch lives in Fenton, so it's not that far to the park. And Mitch said, well, I got the pop-up tent. Do you think I should bring it?
And we debated it for a few minutes.
Yeah, and I said, just throw it in the truck. You know, if we need it, we've got it. But
I have two. We even let's just bring one.
Yeah.
That's probably all we'll need.
So as soon as we got...
You camped under there like damp refugees.
Yes.
Dude, as soon as we pulled into the spot and popped that tent up, the heavens opened. And as we're sitting under there, under that tent, we're like, this is going to be a miserable, cold, nasty game.
But the other side of that was we were also saying, or it's going to be legendary.
Oh, yeah.
It's the most miserable game ever.
Yeah, nobody was like, well, let's turn around and go home. We were all going to go stand out in that rain.
But that's what things... If in 5 years' time, people will be saying, do you remember that game against Wilmington when we got our first win?
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
but the weather did break. The weather was fine for the game. And I just wish another 1,000 people would have been there to see it because that was a great time.
And I'm sure they were scared off by the weather.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt. There's no question.
It had been raining for 2 days straight.
And it was ominous all day. Yeah. So it wasn't new, but...
I'm worried a little bit about this coming game against Toronto. I call them Toronto.
I know. I like that. That's a good name.
Good play on words.
But it's Thursday night. Thursday nights are rough.
You can't. I won't give Louisville grief for their lower attendance on a Thursday night.
No,
because it's a Thursday night.
People are working. Hard. You know, kids got school the next day.
Or they got their own soccer or sports. And
so I'm worried about Thursday. I hope people come out. I hope seeing the highlights of that win, seeing, you know, all the great stuff that was going on Facebook and on Twitter. I hope everybody comes out because it's going to be another good game. Toronto, not lighting up the scoreboards in USL, but I think, Matt, I was telling you, they may bring down Bradley and Altidore.
The way they're playing. I'm looking forward to seeing Javinko.
Well, here's the thing. Toronto, has never won a trophy. Maybe they're realizing... the best bet they got is to bring, you know, the big boys down and try to win USL Cup.
That is an expensive second division trophy.
No, we aren't expecting the first team of Toronto to come down, but it won't be an easy game. I mean, these are still professional soccer players. And
you thought 2 weeks ago you'd have thought Charlotte Independence was going to be an easy 6 points for us, and they've turned.
They're on a win streak, and they beat Richmond, which is a really good team.
Good,
I mean, Louisville, yeah, anybody can beat Louisville, but Richmond is a really good team.
But the thing is, Rochester gets to play FC Montreal twice.
Mm-hmm.
The first time they beat them, they murdered them. Now they only beat them 2-1.
Right.
You know, I mean, Montreal are getting better. There's going to be no easy games.
Well, and
league.
I mean, the way we started off, some people might have thought St. Louis would have been an easy game, and I think now they realize, no, it's not going to be an easy game.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, you don't know what to expect, but I expect to win. I hope we'll go out there and take care of business.
How pleased for Sam Fink were you?
Let's talk about him. Good guy. He's a really good guy.
I think
St. Louis is a town that likes its workers. They like guys that graft. And he's in that mold.
Defenders are my favorite players always. And you know, like the first man of the match we gave to Barklage. I mean, Barklage scored the goal. It was our home opener. You know, that made sense. But
I think he would have gotten it regardless because he was so goddamn good that
day. He was working. But it's like I always want to give it to a defender. I mean, you know, then we gave it to Khan, which made sense. Or Can. God, it's going to be hard for me to break that habit of calling him Khan. But
Can do.
Alec, there you go. But, you know, I want defenders to win it every time. So even before Sam scored the goal, I was watching him.
He must have been on Twitter for like 5 hours after the game. He was like retweeting favorite and everything.
Good for him.
But I was like all watching him and Musa and, you know, who are we going to give this player to the match to? Because it was going to be a defender. Uh-huh. And once he put it in, it was like, we got to give it to Sam. Yeah,
absolutely. And now, one thing about him getting the award, as he came over, accepts the bucket graciously.
Yeah. Well, we learned on the first game, Barklage was disappointed there was no beer in it.
Yes.
So for the second game, we corrected that.
And compounded it.
Cam
did it right away.
he took that beer bucket and he
made it his bitch.
Finished it off.
So we hand it
to
Fink, and he turns and gives it to St. Louis FC GM Jeremy Allenbaugh.
He's not shy about
Jeremy. Jeremy took it like a champ.
Yep.
But I don't know. Sam may not drink. I don't know what the deal is,
but
he was very happy. Jeremy was.
I have a couple pictures of him, you know, just celebrating. Jeremy drinking
the
bucket.
He's got his arms in the air, right?
And it's like that's when I knew this is our kind of guy. That, you know, drinking may not be for him, but he's going to enjoy the shit out of that moment.
Yeah,
that was
well.
Awesome.
And Jeremy down there, Jeremy was elated. You know, I mean, First home win. That's a big deal.
It's the monkey off the back,
and
too.
The pressure was on after the first two that we didn't win. It was weighing on them. You know, I saw him beforehand. He looked kind of pensive. You could see the pressure was on a bit. You know, and it's just, he was a different person after the game.
And Dale in the post-game interview on the STLFC TV said, you know, this has been hanging over our heads.
Yeah.
The players knew it. I knew it. Everybody knew it. You know, it was time to get it done.
And to start this four-game homestand, get the win on the first one. Mm-hmm. Now you can relax a little, play some soccer, and hopefully carry it on. I mean, if you lose that first one, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just puts it...
It just compounds.
Right. So hopefully that will translate to some more good play.
I thought we were going to beat Wilmington. I was kind of surprised at how disciplined and organized they
Wilmington
actually were.
Wilmington played pretty well.
They almost were 8 minutes away from playing a perfect away game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, kudos
Khan had one series there where he...
The three saves.
Yeah, three saves, like, within 3 seconds. I mean...
Yeah, and the second one was pure reaction.
Right.
It was a fantastic play.
I mean, that was a nice combination. I think that's why he won the official St. Louis FC player of the game. And you get no argument from me. I mean, he was lights out, kept us in that game.
I'm quite happy to choose someone other than who they choose.
Yeah,
I kind of like that it's always different,
Yeah, so far it has been, so.
Yeah, it does look like it's going to rain Thursday morning, but be okay Thursday afternoon.
All right.
So high in the mid-60s, we will take that in a heartbeat.
So there you go. We have no excuse. Come out Thursday night.
We did get some messages from Jeremy today, the post-Monday meeting messages. And, again, the team is incredibly appreciative of everything we've been doing. Most notably, they appreciate us cleaning up after ourselves. Let's continue to do that. I think that's a big thing. It shows that we're not just idiots.
To be fair, we are idiots.
Yes, this is true. This is true. But you know, the we already know that the players come on here and tell us that they appreciate it, and Jeremy's been on here and told us. And if you follow USL on Twitter or on Instagram, they're liking us too lately.
Yeah. Yeah, USL gives us a lot of play. And the other thing is, I tell people, I mean, I listen to the other podcasts. I'm not expecting everybody to do it. I'm kind of a junkie, and I'm checking out what the competition does podcast-wise. Or if you're in that USL group on Facebook, or just look around at some of the other teams, people really need to realize how good we have it
here. Absolutely.
You know, even some of the other really good groups in USL, support groups, they talk about how hard they have it, what they're dealing with their front offices. And
there was a great article on Scratching the Pitch recently.
Yeah, I mean, some of the Wilmington fans are having a tough time of it with their front office. Everybody's got their issues. I'm not saying we won't have issues, but really take a moment and appreciate how good we have it with Jeremy, Dale, all the way up to Kavanaugh and Strunk. I mean, you know, what, like I said, when I walk through the parking lot and they're there, you know, having fun at a tailgate, you know, not just down with us, but, you know, corner
meandering.
In the middle, I walk by and they say Brad and they shake my hand. And you know what I mean? That's big.
Going back to Oklahoma, I was talking about that guy from the grid, that Tyler guy. He was actually saying they have very little interaction with their team and with their players.
Yeah.
And they're actually kind of jealous of what Tulsa's got. Having their podcast, their soccer show, and they're speaking to players and stuff, and what we have here.
Well, I mean, tonight's a perfect example. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, Jeremy, we're doing the podcast, you know, next Monday. Can we get a player on? Yeah, and, you know, he gets back to us within a couple of days. You know, here's three guys, you know, who do you want? I mean, like I said, not every supporters group gets that level of access.
No, not at all.
And not every supporters group has their GM's cell phone number to give them a call.
Yeah. Well, or has the GM coming over before and after checking in on everything at the game. I mean, the level of interaction with this group has just been nothing short of phenomenal.
Yep.
But
so take a minute to appreciate how good we have it here in St. Louis.
But we have earned it, too, because we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. So
we've also got a really good team here, a really good group of guys that I'm really happy to support, you know. The guys on the field are giving it their all as well. So, I mean, it works both ways.
Yep. So, we have Thursday night.
Thursday night's big.
Toronto. We have then the following Wednesday is the U.S. Open Cup.
Another weeknight game. And that's the other thing, too, and I know we've hinted at it before. The U.S. Open, this is a huge tournament. I mean, this is...
I think there's been, on social media, there's been a very active core group of people in lower league America to try and boost this competition.
Yeah, raise the profile a little bit.
And I think they really have.
And I'm glad because this is a legendary tournament. Teams from St. Louis have won this before several times.
It's the third oldest soccer competition in the world.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, let's enjoy the shit out of this.
This Wednesday night, it actually is being streamed, and we'll post a link to it on the Facebook and Twitter page. But Des Moines is taking on Madison. We can watch that game on Wednesday night because the winner of that game is who we will see the following Wednesday. So
still hope it's Des Moines.
Yeah, I hope it's Des Moines too. But whoever it is. Next Wednesday night, we're going to have a blast out at Soccer Park for the U.S. Open Cup. And then following Sunday, the Sunday before Memorial Day, it's the big one.
Yeah, a group of rubes come over.
we got Louisville City FC coming in. I know a group of the Coopers are bringing a bus over. We're going to have a nice big tailgate party that day. The Coopers are going to be there. Mitch,
I'm going to be out of town.
Mitch is out of town, so we'll have to have fun for him.
Brad, drink a Das Boot for me.
That wasn't a good idea.
No, it was not.
The ITAP promotion of giving us boots to drink out of.
I love the lanyard to not have to hold it with my hands.
Yeah. And then it you did have to turn it while drinking it,
if you got down to that one strap, it was
my wife kept getting mad because I would hand it to her and it would bubble on her every time.
Wait, are we still talking about Das Boot?
Yes, we're still talking about boots of beer. Okay. But other than that, that's four home games in a row, three more. Come out and have some fun.
It's going to be a hell of a homestand.
Yes. I do want to mention, Patrick Kelly did mention that they are selling prorated season tickets. So if maybe you came to a couple games early on to check it out and now have decided you want all in, you can still get a season ticket, and they will prorate that. So.
And it's still a bargain.
Still a bargain. It's even more of a bargain when you buy the package instead of buy single game. So call Patrick Kelly at the Soccer Park office.
Use the bonus ticket next Wednesday.
That's right.
Yes.
Our bonus ticket is for the U.S. Open game.
If you bought the season ticket package, you got a ticket that's labeled bonus ticket. That is for the U.S. Open game next Wednesday.
And you can always go on to the ticket manager and forward it to yourself for printing out if you choose not to tear up your sheets like I did.
All right. Do we have anything else we need to talk about?
Just win, baby.
It's all soccer games now. It's all just...
I know.
You know.
Too much soccer.
I love it.
I know.
I do have a drinking problem.
You've had one for the whole time I've known you.
Well, I know, but when there's a game every week, it really shows.
I remember last summer when it was World Cup and we were just like, God, what are we going to do, you know, game every week?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm handling it quite nicely.
And that's the other thing about when we would go see the Lions. Oh, let's mention that. The Lions home opener is this weekend.
Yes. Sunday.
So there's not a game this week. Is it Sunday or Saturday?
Saturday.
Is it Saturday? Oh, I thought somebody said it was Sunday. I'm sorry.
We'll double check and we'll post a link on the Facebook and Twitter. But
there's a group going.
There is not a St. Louis FC game Saturday or Sunday, either one, so no matter which day it is, there's an opportunity there to go out and see PDL soccer. Lions, great organization, and we have a history of being out there for several years. So encourage that if you have time to get out there and see the Lions. But when we would go see the Lions games, I could literally drink as much as I wanted, and I would sweat it out before we got back to the cars. Now, if I drink the same amount I drank at Lions games, I'm plastered, so I really have to pace myself. Mitch is double-checking the date on us, I think, there.
Yeah, I was trying to. I'm not very fast. Although, I'm looking here that Burlingame Dragons at Fresno Fuego, they play at Chauncey Park, and I thought it said Chupacabra Park at first.
That would be awesome.
Not going to lie.
Maybe that's a pavilion at Lions Park.
It is Sunday, May 17th at 6 p.m. against
Sunday.
Winnipeg.
There you go. Winnipeg,
so
CSA.
Two Canadian teams.
Yeah, it's really Hate Canada Week. So
I'm good with that.
We'll start at Toronto on Thursday, and then we'll...
Each goal we score, they've got to score 1.21 goals in response.
That's right. But if they get injured down here, they have to pay out of pocket.
Oh, yeah.
If we get injured up there, it's fine.
Yep. It's all taken care of.
Yep.
I can't say anything. It's my new employers. Canadian-based.
I want to move to Canada. Right. Except now we have St. Louis FC. I can't move.
Nope. No reason to.
All right. That's all I've got for tonight.
Same here.
So we did a podcast. It's been a while.
I know. It has.
Well, if the team could have a week off, so could we.
That's right.
That's what it came down to.
Matthew Bird, do you have anything else to share with us?
Nope.
All right. So I think we're all looking forward to seeing you on Thursday. Some of you didn't come on Saturday because it was raining. Now you have to come on Thursday to make up for that.
And bring a friend.
You bring a friend, they'll win, bring a win.
And everybody who's come so far using our ceremonial first ticket has had a blast.
Yes.
We haven't given away a ticket yet when somebody said, nah, wish I wouldn't have come out.
Wasn't for me.
So, there you go.
Come out, bring a friend.
That's it.
See ya.
They're not even a real country anyway.
My son could have been a doctor or a lawyer, rich and true. Instead, he burned up like a piggy on a barbecue.
Should we blame the matches?
Should we blame the fire?
Or the doctors who allowed him to expire?
Heck